All right, we're moving into part 9 on effortless provision. It's been a great series so far, and we're going to continue here with framing up your day. What does a day in the life of you look like? This is an important one because from the moment we wake up and our feet hit the floor, what are our thoughts? You know, it's been often said, and you know this is true, that all of our thoughts from the previous day or past life of events and these traumas are the things that we think about when we wake up. It's usually the previous day, or it could be a hope for a better tomorrow. When we already had a session on living in the now, looks more like what Christ would do on the inside of us. So what does a day in the life of all of us, humanity, look like?
Yeah, and you know, for us, it's so easy to have a habit and not even realize that it's there, because it's either, you know, if you grew up and parents were unconscious of it and they passed that on to you, and then you're unconscious of it, of not capturing what our thoughts are. And of course, you know, take every thought captive. But if you're in a habit of thought that you don't even think is bad, or you don't realize it's just normal to you, like how you function when you first wake up, what are you thinking about? Are you even aware of what you're thinking about? Or is it the old story from yesterday rolling into today? And so then you wonder why you keep getting the same results, right? And so really creating, you are powerful to create. We're waking up more and more to the fact that we do create our own reality in so many ways, you know, not necessarily in the things you can't control, but in the things you can control. And that starts with your thoughts. And by doing so with that, the things and lifestyle and everything around you will coincide and start matching that. It's a pretty amazing to watch happen. And, you know, I know we've seen it in other people's lives. I'm sure you've seen it in other people's lives. You've got people that are always telling a sad story, and they surround themselves with sad issues, and bad things keep being attracted to them. And it just keeps that ball rolling because that's where their momentum is. And so we're learning, all of us here, you know, where we're at on the planet, is how to be aware and conscious to what we're thinking about and what is getting momentum in our thoughts. And to catch them quick if they're negative, or they're a repeat of the past of yesterday, or if we're living in the past. And you know, you've heard the saying, if you're in the past, you're depressed. If you're in the future, you're anxious. If you're in the now, you're at rest.
Yeah, that's so good. And she's right. It's really, you know, we've only been given this moment. You know, and when the Bible says our life is like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow, what that's really stating is that a vapor, think about a vapor. It dissipates really quickly. From the time it's seen, it can dissipate very quickly. That's like a thought. So how many thoughts come and go? They say there's thousands of thoughts that we think per day. And so when we pay attention to our thoughts, that's really regulating living in the moment, in the present. You know, it's like Paul said, think on these things. What he was really saying is life is only as good as what we make in the moment. And so if we live in the present now, where Jesus lives, we said this a lot, but it's important to repeat, is he chooses to live in the present now with us, not in the future, not in the past. Can he do both? Of course. But he chooses to live on us right now. That's called relationship. That's called relational activity, and that's the best life.
Right.
And so when we're living in the present moment, a good way to start our day to help us to stay in that moment is to soak or to meditate, whatever you want to call it. Not prayer in the standard form of, okay, I'm going to wake up and start throwing my requests out there. That's effort. If you really think about it, that's efforting. But when we receive, we're soaking. When we're soaking, we receive. And so when we still ourselves, it allows us to see what we're thinking about, and then to let those thoughts dissipate like the vapor, the vapor.
Right, you become aware.
And then you become aware, and then you let those thoughts dissipate, and then let the God-inspired thoughts rise.
Yeah, it's almost like you're what's going on is you're stopping the momentum, because a lot of times we're letting life lead us instead of leading life, you know, in a way when it comes again to our choice of how we're controlling our thoughts. And again, when you're in a habit of momentum, it's just becomes something familiar and normal to you that you don't even realize, wow, what program of thoughts is in me is pushing me forward in this momentum. And so that's where meditation's so great, is you take that control back and you say, no body, no thoughts, no program. You're not going to put me forward again today in the same momentum I was in yesterday. And you start recalculating your GPS, right? And really starting to choose in that moment what you're going to think about. Not only what you're going to think about, but stepping back into receive mode of, okay, I want to hear and see what the Father is doing, just like Jesus did. And that is when it happens, when you take a minute and you stop the momentum of a past story, you stop the momentum of yesterday, slow down, breathe, and be, and get a new download for a new day.
That's right.
And have a lot better outcome. So yeah, it really is important how you start your day. I know you guys know that, but yeah, the evidence thereof unfolds.
Yeah, and so oftentimes, here's the question. What does it look like in your life when you first wake up? A lot of us have this routine. You know, we listened to a couple of guys on health, and, you know, one of the things that we do is we have this routine. Like Dr. Joe Dispenza, he's a neuroscientist. He's a brain guy. Many of you know who he is. If you don't, look him up on YouTube. It's very fascinating stuff. But he says we have this routine. You know, we wake up. We might rub our eyes, we yawn, you know, we get up and then our feet hit the floor, then we go to the bathroom the same way. You know, we come out and we brush our teeth the same way. Whatever we do, you know, we drink our coffee or our tea the same way. Every single day we have this routine. And you might think, well, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with that is it is a neurological patterning.
Yeah, hardwired.
And it's hardwired, right? And what we want to do is we want to rewire the neurons to be to refire to living in the present moment, and that could look different every single day, because you could be awakened by inspiration and then you might do something different than you did in your hard wiring from the day before. But if you have such a momentum, like Amy was saying, it'll just override that inspired act.
Yeah.
So remember when we talked about inspired action versus efforted action? Efforted action is this hard wiring that says, well, my granddaddy did it a certain way, my daddy did it, my mama did it, so therefore I'm doing it.
So it
a
starts
way.
Yeah, it starts bullying you. It actually starts bullying you, and it's expected in your body because it's now become a survival mechanism. It's hardwired in as a program that goes on automatic, right? Until you take control and the master of yourself and push stop or push pause and say, nope, I'm going to reroute this and start laying down some new wiring in my brain, some new habits, some new patterns for a better outcome. And, you know, it takes you with the act of your will saying, I will do this. I am willing to choose to think differently. And of course, you know, your body, it's no different than going into the unknown, because it's just another form of the unknown. Your body wants to stay in the familiar, wants to stay in the familiar thoughts and the judgments and the easy things that you want to think about, the bills and all this kind of stuff. And so we have to consciously, this is why we're in the Great Awakening, in the smallest areas to the greatest areas, we are waking up and becoming conscious to how we're living our lives, because We have the power to create. We're creators. God made us creators, and he doesn't want us living by default with this pauper mentality and just defaulting to your outside circumstances, letting them dictate to you, letting your family life dictate to you. It's just time that we really take a stand from our inner core in such a healthy way and go deep within. And listen, be still, allow the inner you, your eternal being, to come forth and start matching what God is saying about you. And it takes practice, because a lot of us have not allowed God to love us. we've allowed ourselves to work for God, but we haven't allowed him to simply love us, to just be, to be loved, beloved, be loved.
Yeah.
And that is huge. If anything, is a huge neurological thing that's getting reprogrammed right now.
Yeah, because when we don't feel love, this is where addictions take over and the hardwiring remains. So think about it in your own life, and you could probably sit there and go, yeah, I can think of my addictions. Coffee's one of them. You know, some people have sexual addiction. Some people, the list goes on, right? The point being is that we only set our hands to or put our eyes and feet towards that addiction when we don't realize how much we're loved and let life unfold. Because the unfolding screams trust. If we know how to unfold well, meaning we wake up in the morning and we're in a good mood because we're expecting great things that day, instead of waking up in the neurological pattern saying, oh my gosh, it's never going to happen. Yeah. I got to go get my cup of coffee and my bagel because it makes me feel good. And why? Because we want to overcome that negative emotion of the hard wiring. And when we try to overcome it with an addiction, this is what keeps that crazy pattern and cycle going.
Right, of beating yourself up and getting in the slums of things. And it's that crazy self-abuse cycle. And why? Why do we feel unhappy? Because there's a disconnect. We're not allowing God to love us. We're not allowing ourselves to be loved by God or be loved even by ourselves. And so it's easier just to stick to a program or pattern or work for God, work for other people, keep our mind on other people, and not take care of ourselves. But it all goes back to not feeling good. So why aren't we feeling good? What is the story we're telling ourselves? What is the story you're telling yourself when you first wake up in the morning? That's going to set the whole course of your day right there.
That's right. And that's a big, big deal, as you know. We all know. Because maybe you're dealing with a sickness or you're dealing with pain in your body and your attention is all right there. You know, maybe you're dealing with a loss. And those are, you know, real things, real life circumstances. But the only way to overcome and override that hard wiring, again, is to consciously decide what we're going to dwell on. You say, John and Amy, I can't help it. This pain is too great. I need my sugar. I need my addictions in order to get me through. I need my pain pills. But see, again, is that how God made us to be? Is that how God wired us to be? No, he didn't. So we have to individually take the time to say, okay, wait a minute. If there is power in the energy of thought, because we're all energy, right? We're made of the stuff. And because it's frequency, it's energy, and where we put our attention is where our energy goes. So say your body is hurting, you've had an accident or whatever, well, all your attention is going to go to that body part that's pulsating with pain, okay? But in order to override that, this is what we're talking about, you guys, because once we get to a point where we're thinking on good things that make us align with joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? They align with joy. It takes focus off of that one place that's hurting, and then brings it out in a general sense into joy. The joy bubbles up when we focus on things that are pure and lovely and good, right? It begins to bubble up and then override that pain that's pulsating. And once it does, then you've gone general, meaning you're not so narrow-minded in that point of your energy going there. And then from the generality of energy, this is where we can start to see amazing things happen.
Yeah, and you know, it's baby steps sometimes. It's just, you gotta get in there and soothe yourself, because what's the first thing you have, you know, if you cut yourself or you have a rug burn or you bruise, you know, you do something, what's the first thing you do? You're looking for something to soothe that owie, you know, some aloe vera or, something that's going to soothe it, and you put a bandage on it. And so what's true in the natural is true in the spirit, and same with your soul and emotions. And so It's taking, finding something good for you that is, you know, going to help soothe you. It's going to help you transition out of the pain of your thoughts or the pain of your situation. And so, you know, again, we have a free will, we have freedom to do whatever we want. And so it's just making a conscious choice to find something that's a little healthier, that's going to soothe you. And that'll help.
Internally.
Yeah, it's going to help take those steps and walk you right out of that dark place.
And many of us want to fix the symptoms, right? Because the conditioning all around us, we want to fix the outward symptoms. When you study health the way Amy has for the last 20 years, we know that it's from the inside out. Whatever's appearing on your skin is an internal problem, not an external one.
Yeah.
It's an internal issue because the skin is the largest organ. And so everything bubbles up to the skin, either good or bad.
Yeah, and bubbles up to the surface.
And so look at that emotionally. Look at that energetically. It's all from the inside out. And so because we're talking about provision and money, we're talking about a lot of things, really, because provision is the whole package,
yeah.
Right? But when it comes to money, I just felt inclined to say this, is that could be the biggest hurt or wounding in your life. It could be like a physical ailment that's just been plaguing you for years.
Yeah.
It does a lot of people, and now you're left wondering, like, is this pain ever going to go away? Well, it will. Energetically, we have to focus there first. Energetically, when it shifts, but it starts internally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it starts internally.
That's right. You've got to shift the energy. If you keep staying in the same place, doing the same thing, talking about the same story of your loss over and over and over, you keep getting the same results. And so nobody else can do it for you. You've got to choose to soothe yourself. Go to a place you enjoy. Go do something fun that's going to pop you out of this routine story, this routine lifestyle. Unless that's what you want, then that's what you'll keep getting. But if you don't want that, you've got to shift the energy. You know, go take a road trip. Go do something that's going to get you out of your familiar routine. And you'll start seeing clearer. It's just like a ship or a car is just sitting there in the fog, and it has to make a conscious choice to move forward, to pull out of that fog and go to a different place.
But it's inspired. It's inspired. Like she's saying, a road trip, or even as something as simple as taking a nap to stop the madness going on in your head. Sometimes a nap is the best thing, or a hot shower or a hot tub, whatever you have in your vicinity that you can do, and let the inspiration of that gain momentum energetically to where the spirit takes over the mind, the brain. And that, remember when we talked about heart coherence, that's how it starts. So again, it's inspired action versus the efforted one. That it's like, okay, so let's bring this down in simple terms. The immediate thought when Amy said, go take a road trip, what is your immediate thought with that? Oh, I don't have money. Oh, I can't. I don't have a car. Oh, you know, I've got kids. I can't just go take a road trip. I've got five jobs. That's nice for you to go take a road trip. See, if you have that response, then that's the hard wiring in your efforted action for years, possibly, to default to the negative emotion of that, right?
I don't want change.
And it screams, I don't want change, because now the excuses come through that patterning. Right? And what we want to do, again, like Amy said, we want to shift the energy, even in the smallest sense. Baby steps are still steps.
Yeah.
They're still steps. And then that becomes leaps later on, right? And then the acceleration happens, because then the teenager starts to sprint.
Right.
And when you start to sprint, talking spiritually now, this is when it gets really fun, because now the spirit begins to take over, the energy of the spirit begins to take over, and this is where effortless happenings suddenly start to overtake us rather than us chasing them down.
That's right. You know, and coming back to what's the first thing you think about or see in the morning, and it really does frame everything up for provision coming into your life, because you've got to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to see? What should I be seeing, you know, when I look in the Spirit, or when I'm soaking in meditation, or to look and see what you're thinking about. And but I had the flash of, you know, Elijah about the fist. You know, the Lord kept telling him, keep looking in the clouds, keep looking in the clouds until you see the size of a fist of a rain cloud yes. coming. And a lot of times when you're meditating, that's what it takes. You may not see it in the first minute. Don't give up. Keep looking in the Spirit. And it's no different than if you, okay, picture your door, your front door of your house. Now you're not looking at that tangibly, but why can you see it all of a sudden on the screen inside of you? That is where the drawing board is of inspiration. And so when you're soaking, close your eyes and look at the drawing board of inspiration. Just like, once again, can you see your front door? Can you see your TV without looking at it? What does it look like? So there's your screen. And God wants to show you stuff there all the time. It's just, again, being conscious and aware of what he wants you to see. And it's just forming the habit to start asking. A lot of times we don't even think to ask him, because the old story has so much momentum on it that it's taking the place of that drawing board. And so, but you guys can do this. God so wants to give you the inspired direction, because you've been crying out for it. It's just you've been looking at the wrong board, you know. It's like an AM radio has got your attention, and God's trying to get you onto the FM, and you've got to choose to switch over.
Yeah, so good. And so the just a couple of thoughts on that too is, remember when we talked about the linking up of when we have heart coherence, the energy starts flowing in that positive sense. We start feeling what it feels like to be in a good mood more, because we're choosing that regardless of our conditions. And then all of a sudden this magnetic pulse spiritually starts pulsating more, and it starts growing. This sphere of influence of this magnetism starts growing around our heart, and then it begins to affect our brain and our thinking. When it begins to affect our brain and our thought life, that is what's called the mind of Christ. And so when it goes up, then it links up, then you have this blue light, if you will, and that's the Wi-Fi on.
Open signal.
That is an open signal that your Wi-Fi is starting to blaze now. It's linked up.
Yes.
And so, but when we're incoherent, it's okay. We just want to give you permission, you guys, because this is a process, so to speak, of learning and of growing and developing, that it takes time sometimes for us to unwind that neurological programming. Some of us have been so traumatized that it may take a minute to unwind that, defaulting to a negative thought process. Well, the more we practice this, though, it's like the signal goes red, blue, red, blue, red, blue, red, blue, and then it goes blue for about 5 minutes.
Yep.
You're linked up, but then something disrupts it with your thought life, and then you go red, blue again, but then it links up for 10 minutes. Okay, mm-hmm. Think of it as a marathon, all right, because that's what life is. It's a journey. But I tell you something, the more we practice this, the more the acceleration of things overtaking us begins to take place. We get the suddenlies, we get the God moments, we get the divine appointments, the phone calls, the text messages coming in without our effort.
That's right, because you can keep that blue light on long enough. And so when it's like planes, so you've got your radar system, right, in the control tower, and all of a sudden the planes, you know, even on the plane, all of a sudden the screen comes on and they can see, oh, there's an airport. I can come in and land. And so that you become a target for goodness. You become a target for goodness if you can keep that Wi-Fi signal on towards the Lord and out of the old stories. Remember, the old stories shut the port down.
Yep.
The new story of today, the now, the fresh new substance of faith that you're creating with, can start bringing all these collective components in, all the people, all your answers to prayers start flying around and getting ready to land. So it's not God that's withholding it. Everything's ready for you. It's really, it comes down to, are you ready for it? Have you made the landing strip ready? Do you have enough faith to turn your blue signal on and say, okay, I'm receiving you now? It comes down to that. How much are you willing to receive? Or are you just going to stay in the asking habit and then keep your signal off? I mean, how often do you get frustrated? Why isn't this computer working? Or why isn't this DVD player working? Why isn't this working? Well, did you turn the on button on?
Right, exactly.
To receive the info?
Yeah, that's it's a really good analogy, because we're so technological in society. You know, I am just thinking while she's sharing that, it's like a blue light to a child. This is why Jesus talks so much about being childlike. Become like a child, for such is the kingdom. Why is that important? Because the blue light in a child's life is always on. It has to do with innocence.
Yeah.
See, when you think about the innocence of a child, they don't know anything different of conditioning unless they've been abused. But let's say that child is raised in a healthy environment and it's all positive and everyone's in a good mood and they know about this, right? And they're just being happy and they're having fun. Well, it's impossible to have incoherence when you're having fun. When we put ourselves in a state of fun and a state of mind that says, I'm going to have a good mood no matter what, regardless of my conditions, then that says that the blue light is always linked up.
Yeah.
And when the blue light is linked up, that's being childlike, because innocence puts us there. And remember, Jesus made us innocent
by what he did.
We're already innocent. We're clean. We're whole. But many of us don't believe that because of this incoherence of our conditioning, you know. But a child doesn't have that. Really think about it. You know, a child just wants to have fun. They don't have all these bad thoughts about, oh my gosh, what's my future like? Oh my goodness. Imagine a 6-year-old that's raised in a healthy environment, again, sitting here thinking, oh man, these bills. Oh man, you know, these relationships are just plaguing me. You know, what's my future going to be like? Oh, I got to get a job, you know?
Yeah.
There's none of that, because innocence is the bedrock, is really the bedrock of coherence.
Yeah, and you know, innocence doesn't keep asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And so, you know, picture this, and then we get frustrated. Why isn't God answering? Why isn't God answering? Because all of our asking, asking, asking keeps pushing things away. It's like somebody that's struggling in the water, like they're drowning, and they're splashing, 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 splashing. God wants to get out there and rescue them, but their splashing and striving is pushing it away. And so, because they're not in receive mode, they haven't calmed themselves enough to believe and receive that it's coming to them. So it's so important that we stay in receive mode. And what if just some of the simplest natural keys to do that, of course, take a nap, that helps stop the momentum of stress. But another great one that John and I do in the morning is we turn on some fun, happy music. And that usually automatically, because it's a different frequency and energy, it snaps you out of an old story that's trying to pull us down. What's today going to hold? Do I need to be in survival mode? Do I need to brace myself for what's coming? You know, all that crazy stuff that tries to hit you, you know, to get you in survival mode. But if you flip on some fun, happy music that has a happy beat and frequency to it, it pulls you right out. And it's so easy and simple and puts you in a good mood to face your day and expect good things to come.
Yeah. And then we do that, of course. And then we soak. Usually first thing, or, you know, we wake up a little bit, we'll have some matcha tea or, something like that.
Some
grapes to astringe ourselves. And then
watermelon.
And then it kind of perks us up to where, you know, we don't just fall asleep when we go right into soaking, you know,
because
sometimes you'll do that. So that's okay. Use something to awaken you a little bit. And then, you know, we're listening to a teaching or something.
Then
we go in and we soak separately, or sometimes we'll do it together. At night, we do it more together. Anyway, whatever your routine is that way, that's okay to have that kind of routine, because it's positive. It's rewiring the circuitry.
Right.
So when it does, then you're in a positive state, and then you're like, okay, I can do this. Now, what about when you go to work, a job you don't like? okay, if you're in a position or a job or a situation, or maybe you don't even have a job and you've been throwing resumes out there like crazy. Well, just as a side note, if you keep putting resumes out there, what is that? That's putting forth in the atmosphere effort. It's like requesting. And that puts a momentum out that screams, I am not trusting. Okay? But when you just stop all that, stop putting the resumes out, stop looking, and you just start having fun, you do something to get you out of that rotten state of mind, and you go off and you start, you know, just relaxing or resting in nature, whatever it is that causes you to be at rest and peace inside, then guess what happens? Now you've sent the signal out, the magnetic signal.
Say, I'm open for business.
I'm open for business. Now it reaches out and grabs that opening to bring it back to you. I can't tell you how many times this has happened in my own life when I just stop.
Right.
When I just stop, and then the phone call comes when I'm least expecting.
That's right. And the best things come that you least expected, that you couldn't have figured out or planned. And that's what God loves to do. He loves to surprise you because He's on your team. So many times we're living like He is not with us in this, and that, you know, we got to keep pleading till He answers. Well, that's a story that you had from parents that you had to beg to get them to do something till they finally caved in. That's an old childhood habit right there. And God's not that way. He's just saying, trust that I've got this. I heard you the first time, and I'm already working in the unseen to bring it about if you'll just stay in receive mode so I can get it to you, so that you stop looking in the wrong direction. And so, you know, it's going to get a whole lot better as you keep making these little fine-tuning adjustments, and you're going to see the difference.
Yeah, and it's just, it's super important that, you know, just don't be so hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, we can be really hard on ourselves when you know, and you can get a little schizophrenic if you try to watch every single thought. Yeah. That's not what we're saying so much as we're saying, let's build some momentum in the good way instead of all this momentum in the hard wiring that says everything is going to hell in a handbasket, the economy's tanking, the shipping containers and, you know, the shortages and the political scene and all those things that bombard us. You know, it's that brings more neurological hard wiring in the sense of it's harder to climb out of. So the more of the good things that we can dwell on that comes into our lives,
yeah, what is going good,
then it starts to wire them in such a positive way that all of a sudden then we gain such momentum in that direction that we automatically default to the things that are good, the things that are true, the lovely and good report, that we'll just default to that instead of defaulting to the negative. You know, so just keep practicing, keep moving in that direction. And it starts with each day when before your feet hit the floor, right? Mm-hmm. And before you know it, things will start happening without your effort or our effort. And this is what it looks like to trust God in the storms of life and with everyday life.
Yeah.
And remember, as we leave you with the closing of this session, is that Jesus always said that the one thing that can really help is to begin with centering ourselves in what we believe. You're already a believer in love. You're already a believer in Jesus, you know, most likely listening to this. And if you aren't yet, well, welcome the non-religious Jesus. He's standing there with open arms.
Yes.
But you already have a great belief system. Right? And because you do, we begin there and then we let it unfold. And then the storms start to quiet. We start to actually go to sleep in the storms like Jesus did. And he just stilled himself in the midst of it all. And then miracles begin to happen. Okay? All right. So we're going to leave it there with that session. And then the next one, I know there's so much more we could talk about. Okay, I get it. But we'll continue these, you know, as we go along. We're going to be sharing a lot around this area because it is a major part of life. Okay, so the next one we're going to pick up is effortless marketing. And we're going to talk about what that looks like as opposed to efforted attempts at trying to get our product sold or start a business or continue or further our business, ministry, whatever it may be that you're engaged in. There truly is an effortless marketing that exists, and it's completely different of what the world strives for. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on the next one.